This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan with Lim Soo Ann and Tina Camilla. Before the break, we were talking about the government's plan to adopt 1% of persons with disabilities employment as part of its ministry's KPI. And now in relation to our second story, we have a poll going on Twitter.
We're asking you, if you're struggling with mental health, who or what do you turn to first? So 38% of you have voted my family or partner. 27% of you, two groups of 27% have voted my friends and the internet. And 8% of you said my doctor. So you can continue to take that poll on Twitter at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp your thoughts to us at 018-789-8899. Or you can also call us at 03-77-332-900.
So it's interesting that such a relatively lower number have picked going to your doctor. And that's precisely what our second story is about. So there is a Malaysian app in the works that helps young people screen themselves for mental health issues. And the mobile app is currently being developed by the University of Malaya Faculty of Medicine and is expected to be ready by next year. According to the faculty's deputy dean, Professor Dr. Maznah Dahlui, the idea is that the app can help users identify if they're going through anxiety, stress, or depression.
All right, so for a little bit of context, the mental health of young people in Malaysia is increasingly an important concern. Mm-hmm. According to the National Health and Morbidity Survey of 2015, the prevalence of mental health problems among Malaysian young adults aged between 16 and 35 in 1996 was 10.7%. In 2015, this number had increased by almost three times to 29.2%. Mm-hmm. And according to an article in The Star, as of 2016, one in five students in Malaysia struggle with mental health issues. Among the people calling for more discussions on the mental health of Malaysian youths are Youth and Sports Minister Syed Abdul Rahman at the National Youth Day 2019 in May. He called this a national issue. And Deputy Women, Family and Community Development Minister Hannah Yeo also has called for more public programs focusing on mental health.
Yeah, and there are many reasons why young people don't get the help they need when it comes to mental health. So besides the lack of easily accessible information, there is also the stigma associated with mental illness. So according to Prof. Maznah from UM's Faculty of Medicine, this is why many young people seek help for their mental health issues on the internet.
Yeah, like many of our respondents to our poll as well. So this app that's being developed, firstly, it's designed to be anonymous, which I think is one of those things in relation to the idea of the stigma of having mental health issues. And the app will also apparently have a screening tool in the form of a survey, which will then score users as having either mild, moderate or severe levels of that particular problem, in this case, anxiety, stress or depression. And then once the severity of the problem has been identified, the app is supposed to have modules that will suggest activities to help the user deal with that issue, as well as offer advice from experts. And then the next step of that is that if those modules don't help, and I suppose this would be in the case of more severe issues, the app would refer the user to health facilities or NGOs for professional help. So I spoke earlier today to clinical psychologist Alex Louis about this app and generally also how he thinks it relates to the mental health of young people. Here's what he had to say. Do young people in Malaysia have adequate information and support when it comes to mental health?
I think it really depends on where you're talking about. Obviously, you know, there are different locations around Malaysia. If you live in a city area, probably there are a lot of resources that's available to you. But obviously, if you're in a rural place, then maybe those type of access is not really that accessible. Then again, it also depends on even, let's say, if you are living in a city, in which part do you live in? Sometimes certain schools may have already access to school counselors, but otherwise they are, let's say, far away from places where there's already those kind of psychological centers or access, then it might be difficult for them, or their schools may not have that kind of facilities as available to them.
So what do you think about the idea of an app that actually helps young people identify mental health issues for themselves?
I mean, of course, for me, it's a good idea, you know, whenever they have extra information and resource where they can have access to information regarding their own mental health issues. But I think the main concern for me is that a lot of times, adolescents especially, they're very dependent on adults to tell them what's wrong with them. In fact, you know, when I deal with adolescents, it's almost never when they self-refer. A lot of times when they do come for treatment, it's always when adults actually bring them, whether it's their teacher or their parents. I think one of the things is because most of the time they really depend on adults to bring them to a certain place, you know, to seek help. And because it depends so much on the parents will only know that they have mental health issues when they tell it to their parents. So if I don't tell it to my parent will not know. And sometimes parents don't even recognize when their kids actually have mental health issues. Most of the time, they will attribute it to maybe just, you know, teenage behavior, just part of their storm and stress. And a lot of times, mental health issues, they kind of look like behavioral problems. Like, for example, if you have depression, they might just seem lazy. And that's what the parents will say, you know, I don't know why my daughter sleeps the whole day. My son don't want to do anything and just being very lazy. Or let's say if they have, you know, bipolar disorder, they may just seem rebellious. You know, they do things without consulting me. They disappear for a few days with their boyfriend, girlfriend. They'll come back home. So a lot of times parents miss this kind of symptoms. So it's great that teenagers are able to identify for themselves, but then again, it really depends whether they have that kind of insight in wanting to seek help. Because a lot of times, they might not even think that I even need to consult this app because there's nothing wrong with me, really. Mm-hmm. And again, if they do find that there's something wrong with them, are they willing to seek help? Do they have enough judgment that they really need to seek help? And I think that's also another problem here. Of course, even adults have problems seeking help when they have mental health issues. But I think for adolescents, it's a little bit more prominent. Why? Because I think as an adolescent, this is the time when identity is very important for them. You know, so it's a point in time where they are seeking, like, who am I and stuff like that. And having been associated with a mental health issue almost seems like this is part of my identity, and I do not want that. I do not want to be associated with someone who has depression. I don't want depression to be my identity. So I think that's why some of them do not really want to seek help, because the moment I step into a counselor's office, I begin to see myself as, you know, being somebody with problems. And not only that, of course, there's always this stigmatization, there's fear that I'll be rejected from my friends, because it's very important for teenagers to feel that I'm like everybody else, you know. So, of course, they want to be different, but at the same time, they want to be different in a way that's similar to their peers. Yeah, so if nobody else have depression, then if I have depression, that will set me apart. You know, I'll be the weirdo, I'll be the freak among all the other friends. So I think that's probably quite difficult for them to manage as well.
But do you find, though, that because of the access that they have now to the internet and to technology, that the awareness or even the kind of information that they have access to is more helpful than previously, than it was previously?
Yeah, I think it's very good when people actually start talking about it. You know, I think what we want is that as more information is available to them, as more people, especially people who are meaningful to them, you know, like teenagers, especially when they look up to artists, they look up to sports figures. So when people like that are able to talk about mental health issues, I think it really makes them feel that they're not alone, that you're not strange. In fact, if all these famous people that I look up to are able to talk so freely and don't see this as normality, then it's easier for them to talk. So I think the information, what information you're giving out is also important. Yeah, so it's not just factual stuff, because I think that sort of things they can get everywhere, but what it really means to have a mental health issue. And I think that's also quite important. You know, so it's just a matter of making them feel that having a mental health issue is no different. That, let's say, if I have a cough or a cold or I have fever and I go see a doctor, I think that kind of information needs to go up to them.
And ideally, when it comes to an app like this or a service like this that's being provided by, in this case, a university, what kind of, I suppose, support systems or ecosystem do you think should be built around this app so that the help that the students are getting is actually comprehensive?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, because there are some kind of apps that actually seeks to treat you using just the app and not seeing anybody, I don't think that, I don't know how effective it is, like, you know, basically, and I think some research has been done has also been rather inconclusive, and some even find that, you know, such apps that seeks to treat mental health issues directly might not really work. Yeah, so at the end of the day, I think it's still important for them to get in touch with an actual person who will be able to assess and evaluate them. I think that's the challenge. So number one, they must know where they can seek help. And for me, the easiest place, of course, is school, because they're already there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't need my parents to bring me somewhere, pay a lot of money, whereas I can just step into a school counselor's office. And that also basically means that school has to be equipped with counselors who are able to deal with such issues and who are trained. And of course, that's, it's hard for us to ensure, like, you know, that the quality of training that everybody have is on par and they're able to deal with specific issues. Yeah. And I think that that's the easiest access for kids, because almost everybody goes to school. And it also means that, you know, I don't always have to tell my parents, because sometimes the issue might be their parents themselves. And some parents might be a bit reluctant to send their kids for treatment because, I don't know, either they find it too expensive, or sometimes they might deny that their children have any problems, or they don't want their kids to review things that happen in their own house, you know. So those sort of things can be overcome, let's say, if we have access to counselling in school itself. And I think also their concern is, of course, for counsellors, because they are bound by certain ethics and stuff, whether or not it's okay for, let's say, adolescents to go through counselling without their parents' knowledge, because a lot of times they would need to sign some kind of consent form that require their parents to have knowledge that they're going through. But of course, you know, this is another legal aspect, like whether it's okay for adolescents to actually seek help without their parents' knowledge. So I think one, having access is one thing, you know, but if you have this, all these other obstacles coming in, so it's also very difficult for them to have access to counseling services or mental health services.
So that was clinical psychologist Alex Louis sharing his thoughts on the possibility of having an app that can help young people screen themselves for mental health issues.
And interestingly, while there are many apps out there on the market that help people cope with mental illness, from meditation apps to mood trackers to coping exercises, there aren't any specific ones dedicated to screening. So it will be interesting to keep an eye out to see how successful this app from UM will turn out to be.
Right. And, you know, I am actually quite interested to see what our listeners are thinking about in terms of who they would turn to when it comes to their struggles with mental health. So we're asking you that on Twitter.
Yeah. So you have who, if you're struggling with mental health, who or what do you turn to first? So 38% of you have still voted my family or partner, with 25% each to my friends and also to the internet, and 12% saying that that you would turn to your doctor first. So we've also received a few comments on Twitter in response to this. So Sean Sharif said that they turn to Twitter to connect with like-minded people and cat stuff, but they will also use WhatsApp as a call for help when it needs be. And Naz Asmin said that, I trust the patient-doctor confidentiality. Friends and family often betray you. Best place to talk about one's struggle is with a professional.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, right? Because that's the thing about this app that I was trying to figure out, that the app kind of allows you to figure out perhaps that you might need help, but then as to whether you'll actually reach out, that's a whole other question, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's also, well, first of all, you must have the app. Mm-hmm. You must download the app. And if you're in denial, or if you don't think that you have a mental health issue, even though everyone else feel the opposite.
Or if you're in a family or community where there's so much stigma, you're unlikely to even want to cross that barrier and download the app in the first place, right?
Yeah. So there's that. And then I think with the app, because of the way it is, so I don't know the design and the engineering behind the app. In a way, it is probably very similar to most, if you've been to a mental health clinic for the first time, just the list of questionnaire or like survey. Yeah. I suppose it's something similar to that, like it's a pre-diagnosis. But at least in the mental health clinic, you have the professional right in front of it or behind the door or something like that. Whereas with an app, well, yeah, you may or may not get a diagnosis. You may not do anything about it.
Yeah. There is some research that shows that a lot of mental health apps tend to over-diagnose or over-medicalize mental health issues as well. And that is one of those dangers with these self-directed diagnostic tools, right? In that while they do say that the app will have, you know, contacts for experts and even, I think, links to expert opinions, it's all very self-driven. So you're going to basically settle on the choice that you think fits, which I think can be perhaps slightly problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Would you guys use an app like this? I'm curious.
No, I wouldn't.
What about you, Suhan?
But I'm a bit privileged in that I know where to go to if I need help, and I have access to that, whether it's financially or otherwise, right? So, so yeah, I'm coming from a place of privilege. Sorry.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I agree with Tina as well. I feel a bit skeptical on the use of an app just because we mentioned it comes with a pre-diagnosis. Mm-hmm. There's no human professional behind it. Making sure that just because you are following that particular set of whatever that diagnosis might be, that you are definitely you would definitely be diagnosed with a particular mental health issue when in reality it could be something totally different. And I think because also like Tina, I would know where to go. I know who I can turn to. I feel like an app feels very cold and distant from the kind of help that someone should be getting.
So I have actually looked online for a list of questions that kind of let you answer yes or no. And then depending on the number of yeses at the end, they are sort of like, if you said yes this many times, it's possible that you might need to see a professional. And it did sort of give me some insight into what were those markers that I should be looking out for. But I was also thinking that at least from that perspective of people who don't have the access or the privilege of knowing where to go, or even being from backgrounds where discussions on this are not encouraged, to even be in an environment where an app like this is available is perhaps one step towards normalizing that discussion, where if your university or lecturers are saying, you know, download this app, if you're struggling, take the test and then you can come and talk to us. At least, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, if you've never been in places where these conversations are had, perhaps it would help someone feel like, okay, maybe there's nothing wrong with this after all. Mm-hmm. And in that sense, I can see some positives in it, I think.
Yeah, you're right about that. And I'm also thinking, like, I mean, speaking of privilege, right? You know, some schools have counselors, for example. Mm-hmm. Some universities, they have an in-house mental health counselor and so on. But there are the schools where, you know, they don't have that kind of services.
Right.
And when you have a student, if you're a teacher, if you're an administrator, you have a student who comes to you and said that, I think I'm, you know, depressed and so on. You don't know how to help because you're not qualified to help them. Maybe you can introduce them to the app, and based on the result, you can then, you know, encourage them to seek further help. Because I think part of that process of helping someone when you're not equipped to provide mental health first aid is to kind of tell them, like, look, there's something out there for you to kind of, you know, confirm or whatever, you know, help you through that.
And at least direct them to the right sources.
I think that's where it's important to have the discussion around it as well. It's not just you should use the app on its own and then that's it. Mm-hmm. You should use it and then whatever the results might be, you discuss it with someone, your teacher, your family, or even just you go to your doctor. Just have that discussion on what that might mean and whether that is an accurate reflection of what you're going through.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I feel quite strongly that if you know, universities, medical faculties are talking about having an app like this, then it should also be part of the discussion. Then what is that support system around that, right? Like, do you have the kind of support within your universities, within your educational institutions I've diagnosed myself and I think I might have an issue. I should also know where to go and talk to. And it shouldn't have to be, as Alex said, there are so many barriers for a young person. Mm. You know, first you have to turn to your parents because if there's money involved, if you know, simple thing is if you don't drive, you need to get across town to see a specialist, you might need them to take you. So things need to be accessible. Otherwise, just having a diagnostic tool may not be very useful at all.
We have a WhatsApp message from Elaine who's echoed the fears of the danger of the app giving the wrong diagnosis. Mm. So, yeah, I think it's all just... just take it with a pinch of salt, I think, whatever it is.
Well, to be fair, we don't know the yes. design yeah. of the app, but we don't know the interface and we don't know what went in, like what's the algorithm and so on. So it's hard to really, you know, poke holes into the whole system yet. I mean, I'm really curious to see what it's like if it comes out next year, then,
yeah.
then probably we'll revisit the story next year.
Yeah, yes, because I'm not, yes, in case we sound like we're not in support of the idea, I don't think that's what it is. I mm-hmm. think that especially if we have a year before it's going to be unrolled, these are things that perhaps can be considered mm-hmm. when working on the design and working on sort of that whole ecosystem of support that maybe could be created along with, you know, an app that helps you screen for potential issues. Do we want to check in quickly on the results of our Twitter poll?
Yeah. So we were asking you on Twitter, if you're struggling with mental health, who or what do you turn to first? So the majority of you, 39%, said that you turn to your family or partner first. 26% of you said that you turn to the internet first. 23% of you would look for your friends, and only 12% of you would look for the doctor.
I hope those of you who are looking to the internet for help are looking in the right places, because the internet can be a dangerous place, mm-hmm. especially if you're struggling with your mental health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I think speaking to a professional should always be, if you have the access to, you know, no stigma, reach out. And if you are struggling and need someone to talk to, you can also call Befrienders Kuala Lumpur at 0379568145. You can email sam@befrienders.org.my as well. So you can keep the conversation going. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 0187898899. We are also on Facebook. You can look up BFM The Bigger Picture. And if you've missed any part of the show, you can download the podcasts at bfm.my/dailydigest on the BFM app and also on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Earth Matters, Kelly and Issa will be discussing the issue of sustainable water management in Malaysia with Mohammad Khairi Salamat of the Department of Irrigation and Drainage Malaysia. We leave you now with You Can Talk to Me by The Seahorses on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.